Right now, I have with me David Tyree with Piney Grove Farm in Vinemont, Alabama.
Thanks, Mark. It's good to be with you. At Piney Grove Farm, we offer Black Angus beef raised all naturally. Our cattle are grass-fed, grain-finished. We'd love for you to come try some. Our market is located at 5814 County Road 1141, Vinemont, Alabama, and we're open on Fridays from 9 to 5. You can also give us a call at 256-339-4612.
That's Piney Grove Farm, located in Vinemont, Alabama. Find them on Facebook at Piney Grove Farm and give them a try. Whether you're new to aviation or an experienced pilot looking to advance your skills, Go Vertical Aviation has you covered. With an excellent learning atmosphere and a staff committed to excellence in education, Go Vertical Aviation will customize a learning program just for you. For more information, go to goverticalaviation.com or call 256-412-5226. Be sure to follow Go Vertical Aviation on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
Don't just go. Go Vertical.
Right now, we have Mayor Kerry Underwood, Mayor of Tuscumbia, Alabama, to share his Muscle Shoals Boutique Air experience.
My wife and I, we were flying from here to Atlanta, which is a very fantastic trip to go from one to the other at such a great rate. In that route was just a casual, comfortable environment, which sometimes flying is not casual and comfortable. During that time, we just got to visiting with the pilot and the co-pilot. Come to find out, it was a husband and wife team. And it's hard to put into words how that gave us a comfort level, but just knowing that there was a family that was flying the plane, having normal conversations as we were interacting with them, made it feel like home. And for me, this Shoals area is home. And knowing that there was someone who had that same sort of mentality and that same interaction between husband and wife going from one airport to another gave everybody on that plane, including myself, a comfort level that I really can't put into words. When we say this is boutique air, it's also very unique in that it is very hometown and personable. And to me, that matters when you're flying.
To plan your boutique air experience, go to boutiqueair.com. That's boutique air,
where you can fly private for the cost of commercial.
No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the legal services performed by other lawyers.
My wife and I sat down with Harlan Mitchell and discussed our own estate planning needs. I know in our experience, Harlan brought up questions that caused us to think about our current situation and what we need to do moving forward. When you sit down with Harlan for your free consultation, you're going to find out things that you may have not thought about when it comes to estate planning. I encourage you to go to BamaEstatePlanning.com or give Harlan Mitchell a call at 256-216-9884 and schedule your free consultation today.
Would you like enhanced energy, better moods, less fatigue, help with allergies, better sleep, mental clarity, or just want improvement of your overall immune health and well-being? Do you need to recover from intense activities, workouts, or sports? Then IV therapy at the Drip Factor inside Trinity Medical Center is right for you. Our IV drips are filled with nutrients, vitamins, and minerals that will help your body replenish, restore, and achieve your wellness goals. For more information, visit trinity-medicalcare.com and schedule your appointment today at Trinity Medical Center, located at 500 Governor's Drive.
Experience the difference at Athens Bible School. The vision and purpose is to provide each student a quality education in a Christ-centered environment to develop the whole person spiritually, mentally, physically, and socially in safe and supportive surroundings. The solid biblical foundation permeates learning and culture in the classrooms and every extracurricular activity.
Hey everybody, this is Daryl Worley, and you're listening to The Mark White Show. Hey, step up and make a difference like he does.
Hey y'all, this is Jeff Foxworthy, and you, yeah, you can make a huge difference in somebody's life. You just may not have figured out how yet, and that's why you're listening to The Mark White Show.
Hi, this is Maggie Peterson. I played Charlene Darling on The Andy Griffith Show, and you are listening to The Mark White Show.
Hi folks, this is Ricky Skaggs, and you're listening to The Mark White Show.
Hello, I'm Gene Stallings, and this is The Mark White Show. Get off the sideline and get involved and make a difference in your community.
You are listening to The Mark White Show. My daddy is your host, Mark White. Something good
today. Today we are headed to the gateway of Fort Rucker. Now, Fort Rucker is a military base in Alabama, and we're talking about Daleville, Alabama. Right now, I have on the line with me Kevin Turley, and he's a councilman for the city of Daleville. Welcome to the Mark White Show, Kevin.
Thank you, Mark.
Glad to have you, man. I have followed you for a while via Instagram, and one of the things that stands out, your tagline is a servant's heart. I wanted you to be able to share with people what made you have the desire to be a councilman, to serve your community, and the past 25 years of service that you've contributed to your community.
And the funny thing is I never thought I would ever enter into an elected official position. That was the furthest thing from my mind. All my life, I've dedicated my life to public safety. Started out as a volunteer firefighter, and with running fire calls, we also got involved in medical calls. So that sparked my interest in emergency medical services. Went and earned my license and stuff to the emergency medical, to become an emergency medical services provider. The funny thing is, I'm going to these shootings and stabbings and domestics and things like that. And I was like, I really have no closure to what's going on. And I ventured into law enforcement. And along the way, I never wanted to give up anything. I wanted to stay involved in firefighting and EMS as well as law enforcement. So I was doing those three things. And that's actually what sparked my interest in Daleville. I was a reservist with the Air Force, and I was researching, you know, military installation. I was already out, but looking at military installations that are close by, and also looking at being able to do all three things in one place. So I found Daleville, right outside the gates of, like you said, the gateway of Fort Rucker, or the gateway of Army Aviation there at Fort Rucker. And Daleville is unique that it has a Department of Public Safety, which does police, fire, EMS. And that allowed me to do all three under one roof, and just, you know, been here. And this is home for me now. We've definitely dug in our roots here. And along the way, you know, you want to see some changes, and you want to see your community become involved. And it's one of the things of, you know, you kind of have to step up to the plate. And along the way, you know, I'm being led to do this, you know, to serve as a city councilman, and I was kicking and screaming along the way. I was not just readily going into this, because I'm the kind of person that I love what I do in public safety. But, you know, most of us in public safety, whenever we're off shift, we kind of want to be in our cocoon, and we just, you know, we go home, we shut our doors, cut our phones off, and just, you know, unless we're on call, we like to just relax and decompress, so to speak. And, you know, and you, when you start looking at a councilman position or any kind of elected official position, you can't do that. And what I envision a public servant in a political office, you know, what I expect them to be is be readily available, be involved in the community, which I was already doing that, but, you know, being engaged with the citizens and being available. So what I've done is, I forced myself out of my shell, so to speak, and outside my comfort zone. And even when I was out campaigning, I was going door to door, and I was not just with the residents, but with the businesses. And the business leaders are like, you know, why are you here? Because some of the business leaders, they don't live here. They're like, I can't vote for you. I don't know why you're here. And I'm like, because you're a business owner and you pay taxes here. And if I get elected, you're my boss. I mean, you're paying taxes here. You can't vote for me, but I want to know what I can do to help your business. And because let's face it, you have to have businesses in your community to help your community grow and provide programs for your citizens. I mean, we all have to work together. And that's kind of how I got into it, was just talking with the residents and stuff, and, you know, really feeling led and practically drugged to do this. And I'm doing my best to, you know, when I was talking with the residents before the election, you know, they were like, you know, what are you promising? What are you planning on doing? And I was like, I can't really promise anything. I don't know what the budget's like. I don't know what I can and can't do on some things, because I'm not in that position. I need to learn what I can and can't do and all that. But the two things I will promise you, one is I'm going to be available to you, and I want to stay in touch with you. I'll have regular town hall style meetings where, you know, we can meet at a restaurant or a meeting room or whatever. And you can come to me with your complaints, with your compliments, whatever, and I will keep you abreast of what's going on. in the city and keep you informed of things that are coming up and all that, so we can make informed decisions and you can offer your input. Because I need to go with what you're telling me to do, not what Kevin wants to do, but what my fellow citizens want to do. And we need to work together. So, yeah, I want to have the town hall meetings. And the other thing is with the salary and everything, because folks are like, you know, what's your motivation? And, you know, is it to add that extra $400 a month to your household income? I'm like, no, I'm actually going to donate my salary. And, you know, two reasons. One is I'm never going to become dependent upon that income if I never accept it. So there's, at the end of the 4 years, you know, I'm not seeking reelection if I choose to do that. I'm not seeking reelection to keep my income. You know, I'm doing it because I want to do it, because I feel led to serve. So that's one thing. The other thing is that gives me some discretionary money to go and give back to the community. And what I've been doing is, over the last several months is, you know, picking the local, charities and, organizations here in town that need help. Because as a city, we can't give tax funds, let's say for the Boy Scouts. You can't give a donation to the Boy Scouts, you know. Now you can have them do some work for the city. Let's say go out paying fire hydrants or whatever. They can go and do that, and you can pay them for their services, but you can't give a donation to them. And this allows me to be able to kind of give back to those organizations that, you know, need that help. And there's a list of them that I've been able to help so far, and there's still more to come. But yeah, it's just, I truly felt led to serve, and it's just part of who I am. I love it. It's, like most of us, when we do something good, I mean, it makes you feel good, and that's it. I mean, it's just, really wanting to give back and build a community to be a better community for, you know, my kids. And if they decide to raise their kids here, then of course for their kids, it's just kind of creating that legacy, so to speak. And then just being there to help kind of lay that foundation for the future.
Well, Kevin, you jumped right into it with the fact that you contribute the money that you receive from being a council member to various organizations, and you donate that. And that's something that definitely stands out as we talk about being a first responder and serving your community in that arena. When you get into politics, people want to know which side of the aisle you're on, and it does change some of the dynamic of the relationship that you would have with the community as a first responder, as opposed to being a political figure.
Well, it's definitely different in a way. But at the same time, there are some similarities that I've noticed. One is education. You know, in law enforcement, you have your, like in Alabama, you have your A-post classes and stuff, your academy. That's your foundation. And you can't stop there. You have to go and you have to learn more. And it makes you a better officer. As a medic, you know, going through EMT school, you know, you get that foundation. Okay, now I'm going to go to advanced EMT. And you build on that. And even on top of, let's say, advanced EMT, there's other courses you can take that teach you different techniques and just become a better medic. And same way with being a councilman. In Alabama, we do have the League of Municipalities, and they have a program called the Certified Municipal Official. And, you know, there's the basic training. And I mean, the only thing you're required to have in Alabama is the ethics training. It's a 1-hour course. There is so much more on top of that. You know, and it's not just learning how the meetings go. It's learning what you can and can't do as a elected official. It's learning what you can do for your citizens. Part of it is learning where you can get sources of revenue for your city. I mean, none of us like taxes. None of us like, you know, giving money to the government. But at the same time, it does take money to make the government function to where you can provide services to the citizens and making sure everybody, you know, does their fair share. Because there are some people who would try to circumvent the system, you know, and everybody needs to play fairly. Otherwise, you can't provide the services to your citizens. But with that CMO program, I've already knocked out the basic, and I started actually a month earlier than my taking office, just because I was elected already. We had our elections in August, and you take office in November. I was able to start classes early, and I finished the basic in around, I think, it's January or so, and I'm already starting on the advanced. And it's just, there's so much to learn. and it's to become a better servant. And it's the little things, because one of the things that I heard going door to door, as well as even now with the phone calls I get, you know, I want to come talk to you guys at the council meeting. I'm like, okay, you need to call the city clerk. Get on the agenda. You know, why do I have to do that? It's my meeting. I'm a citizen. I agree. However, you have to go and get on the agenda. And the reason being is, let's say you have, you know, 20 people who are upset or who have something they want to address. You know, if you give 20 of them, you know, the ability just to come speak, just to walk in and start speaking, and they each want to take an hour to go on, you know, the details of what's going on in their lives and their concerns, you're going to be there 20 hours. You know, and we have to have order in the meetings and stuff. And there's a reason behind it. There's a method to the madness behind it. But it's just one of those things of learning that and then being able to teach that to the citizens and all that. But what I was saying was the similarities. One is training, but the other thing is just kind of being that go-to. As a medic, you know, if my friends or family or whatever have even the minor injury or whatever, you know, you get that phone call. Hey, what do you think? I'll send you some pictures, or can you stop by? This is what's happened. You know, can you help? If you're close by, whatever, stop by and be able to help. It makes you feel good that they trust you to come and help. You're the go-to. They trust you. In law enforcement, you know, yeah, we're enforcers, but we wear so many other hats in law enforcement. And, you know, just helping somebody, you know, I'm a car seat technician. So being able to go and help somebody install a car seat or something like that, I mean, I love that. That to me is more about serving than having to go out and write a ticket. I mean, we sometimes have to write the tickets to be able to change somebody's driving behavior if a warning won't work. But I'd much rather go do things such as help somebody change a tire, or if unfortunately there are people out there who have to choose between you know, paying their power bill or paying for their medication or buying food, you know. As law enforcement officer, I've been in that position before where I get called out. Hey, I don't know what to do. I can't afford all three. You know, being able to sit down with them and figure out resources to help pay for medication or resources to get food so you can allocate your money to pay the power bill or whatever. And it's kind of the same thing as a councilman. I can go 2 or 3 days, my phone might go off, but I have those days where I'll get 7 or 8 phone calls a day. This, you know, this is in Delville. Delville's not a big place, but there are those days my phone blows up. But people, first thing they want to do is apologize. I'm so sorry to bother you. And I'm like, no, you have no idea. You know, this is what I signed up for. This is what I love doing. And I'm like, the fact that you called me, because in Delville, we don't have districts or anything or places or whatever. We're all five at large council members. So the fact that you picked me to call me and to trust me to help you with your situation, it could be something as simple as I got a street light out. How do I do this? Well, I'll make a call for you to the power company, but in the future, you can call the power company directly, give them the pole number, I'll get the street light back on for you. Or if it's, you know, people are speeding, you know, okay, I'll coordinate with, you know, giving some intel to the police chief or whatever so they can increase patrols in the area. And if it's a really bad situation, then, you know, I can coordinate with appropriate people with the street department to get speed bumps put in or whatever. You know, it's just kind of coordinating efforts and stuff and being that go-to, and that's kind of how it is. I mean, there are some similarities there with the different hats, so to speak, but there are some differences. people do kind of want to know which side of the fence you're on politically and all that. And, you know, I have my personal views and stuff, but I tell them, you know, in municipal politics here, we don't have parties, and I'm not going to play parties. We're looking out for Delville. And, you know, I mean, you got to do what's right for the city. Looking out for the citizens. We all live here. We're all neighbors. And sometimes when disputes come up and stuff, I mean, it does kind of get touchy. There's some touchy topics out there, but you know, I'm the kind of person, I will tell you how I feel about it. But at the same time, I'm going to listen to you because you're my boss. You know, as a citizen, you're my boss. I work for you. I'm your servant. And I think, not everywhere, but there's a handful of folks that I think have forgotten that once you're in an elected position, you are a servant. You're no better than anybody else. If anything, you're beneath everybody else. You're their servant. And you're at their disposal, and they're your boss. The people are your boss. And they allow you to serve. I think a lot of people, or some people have forgotten that, but that's something I always try to remember, that, you know, I mean, you got to keep yourself in check, that, you know, you work for the people, and you know, it's an honor and a privilege to be in that position.
Well, and Kevin, one of the very important aspects about serving the community is to be accessible. And you have a website that's devoted to giving information to those you serve. It's kevinturley.us. And of course, you use the hashtag Servant's Heart. And Kevin, I want you to be able to share how people, if they're listening in Daleville, can connect with you and how you can better help the city of Daleville as a councilman.
Okay. Yeah, the website's out there. I try to keep things posted on there with our meetings and stuff. Obviously, you know, the citizens are always welcome to come to either the work sessions and or the regular meetings, the council meetings. Our regular council meetings are the first and third Tuesday of every month at 5:30 p.m. in Daleville at City Hall. They're always open to the public. If you just want to sit in and observe, now, if you want to have a chance to speak, you do need to get on the agenda, which you just call the city clerk and get on the agenda. Our work sessions are the first and third Monday of each month at 5 o'clock. And because of COVID and everything, they've cut out the regular work sessions. We only have the work sessions on as needed basis. So it's kind of a hit and miss on that. But the work sessions are also open to the public. The thing about the work sessions, it's kind of laid back, and it's basically that's where we discuss things and kind of hash everything out. If you want to be there for the times where we're kind of hashing things out and making decisions, that is the time to be there. We can't vote on anything, but that is the time to really see how things work and how people's minds work and all that. We kind of hash everything out there, and then the regular meeting is basically just going, you know, from item A to item B to item C and just knocking things out. And they're usually short and sweet. But from the meetings and stuff, if you can't make it, I try to get them live streamed, earlier in the year. It just didn't work out where we didn't get them streamed. I wish we could, cause there's so many people that would like to see it. What I do at the end of the meetings is I will take my notes and stuff from the council meeting, and I will do a kind of like a recap what was discussed and what was done. And I'll post that on the website as well as all the social media. And it's not the minutes from the meeting, but it's kind of a gist of what happened. But you can reach me through the website. I'm also on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, MeWe. All the social media platforms I can get on, I've put out there, because not everybody likes Facebook, not everybody likes Instagram, so I try to hit all the bases. It can be time-consuming when I go and share things, I have to hit all the websites, but I do try to get everything out there to the people. But I do answer messages on each of those. It's open to everybody, so if you're on those platforms, you can send me a message. We don't have to be friends or whatever on there. You can send me a message. And I'm thick-skinned. You're not going to hurt my feelings. I've done public safety for 26 years now. I'm thick-skinned. And I'm a firm believer. You're my boss. And, you know, and if you're not in Daleville, if you just have ideas or suggestions or whatever else, I'm open to that too. I'd rather learn from somebody else's ventures and stuff as opposed to us trying to reinvent the wheel on something. But on those platforms, I've got my cell phone number out there, email address and all that. I mean, I try to be as open as I can. I mean, I'm nowhere near perfect, and I will make mistakes. All I ask is everybody kind of give me the same courtesy as I would give somebody else if they made a mistake or whatever. I'll own it. Just a little side story real quick. One of the things I ran into working as a police officer, and at the time I've been a police officer for 10 or 15 years, something like that. But anyway, I pulled a vehicle over because it had green headlights. Okay, so I pull over for the green headlights, and I'm like, you know, you got to have white headlights. The guy's like, I think you're incorrect. And I was like, yeah, let me go back and double check real quick. So I go back to the car, I pull it up, and sure enough, he's correct. There is a statute that covers color of light on the vehicle everywhere around the car, except for the headlights. Now, you can't have red, you can't have blue. However, there's nothing that says you can't have green bulbs in your headlights. I was like, wow, okay, I was wrong. And I went up there, and I was like, sir, I want to apologize for wasting your time. I said, you're correct, I'm wrong, and you have a blessed day. And he says, excuse me? And I was like, sir, you're right, I'm wrong. Have a blessed day. I'm sorry for wasting your time. And he's like, can I shake your hand? And I'm like, I don't normally shake hands. I don't normally shake hands because of safety issues, but in this case, I think we're okay. And I shook his hand, and he's like, I've never had somebody who was, you know, just owned it like that. And I'm like, sir, I said, I'm a human being like you are. You know, I had it wrong. And I said, sir, I've been a cop. Like I said, it's like 10 or 15 years. Sir, I got it wrong. You know, I was like, all these years, I thought I never wrote a ticket for it, but I've always, you know, given warnings and stuff. I was like, you're right. I'm wrong. I said, it happens. I mean, if you look at how many statutes are out there, and I knew there was a color requirement for everything else, I thought it included the headlight. It didn't. So it was just one of those things. But being able to be humble enough, and this is what I hope all of us would do, is just be humble about it and go, yeah, I was wrong. And, you know, we can move forward. And if more people realize that we're all human, I don't care if it's a police officer, a judge, or even the president. I mean, we're all human. We're going to make mistakes, especially in higher profile things. You're going to mess up. And it's just own it and move on.
Kevin, I believe that no matter where anybody's listening right now, it's good for them to get a feel of those who are representing communities across our country and to understand maybe a little bit deeper the people that are serving. And as part of that, I'm going to have Representative Andrew Sorrell in the next segment, and we're going to talk about the state level and serving at that level. But Kevin, your message has come across loud and clear today, and I believe that the city of Daleville is better for you serving. And I appreciate the fact that you are a public servant. Myself, coming out of law enforcement, being a former police officer turned radio host, and I know that you had some radio experience as well, but I appreciate the fact that you took that leap to get into serving your community in this way as a councilman.
All right. Thank you so much. And it was an honor to, you know, get that message from you, to, you know, be invited on your show. I really do appreciate your time, and I appreciate your listeners' time. And if I can ever help anybody out, let me know.
Thank you, Councilman Kevin Turley.
Thank you.
Folks, I want you to go to his website, kevinturley.us. Check out Kevin Turley, hashtag Servant's Heart. We appreciate him joining us here on the Mark White Show today. As I just announced, coming up, we're going to have Representative Andrew Sorrell joining us. I hope you'll stick with us. You are listening to the Mark White Show, and I'm your host, Mark White.
A little wink, a pat on the back, a big old hug, a little laugh. We can make a difference. All we have to do is try. Yeah, every day's a chance to change somebody else's life. Let's all do something good today.
Whether you're new to aviation or an experienced pilot looking to advance your skills, Go Vertical Aviation has you covered. With an excellent learning atmosphere and a staff committed to excellence in education, Go Vertical Aviation will customize a learning program just for you. For more information, go to goverticalaviation.com or call 256-412-5226. Be sure to follow Go Vertical Aviation on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
Don't just go. Go Vertical.
Boutique Air in Muscle Shoals, Alabama offers direct flights to Atlanta, Nashville, and Pensacola. Boutique Air service runs twice daily, 7 days a week, with fares starting at $59. Follow Boutique Air Muscle Shoals on Facebook at Boutique Air MSL and book your flight through boutiqueair.com. Boutique Air.
Where you can fly private for the cost of commercial.
The best way to buy, sell, and experience land is with Jonathan Berryhill. For your farm, ranch, recreational, hunting, timber, and acreage needs, contact National Land Realty Professional Jonathan Berryhill at 256-874-7354 or email at jberryhill@nationalland.com. Be sure to follow Jonathan Berryhill with National Land Realty on Facebook. This is your land.
Thompson Roofing and Construction is a locally owned family business serving the North Alabama and Southern Tennessee area. They are a Better Business Bureau A-plus member since 2011 and a GAF Master Elite Contractor. Give them a call at 256-952-3309 or check them out on the web at 256roofing.com. They offer free inspections.
Thompson Roofing and Construction.
No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the legal services performed by other lawyers. Losing a loved one is hard, but losing a loved one and not having an estate plan is even harder. Attorney Harlan Mitchell witnessed what not having an estate plan can do to families and decided to use his experience to do something about it. I encourage you to go to BamaEstatePlanning.com or give Harlan Mitchell a call at 256-216-9884. Again, that website is BamaEstatePlanning.com. Let Harlan Mitchell help you with estate planning. Do it for those you love and do it today.
He's got a cold. Nothing to worry about.
Just need a couple of stitches.
Your COVID rapid test is negative.
Oh boy, x-ray shows it's broken.
Trust Trinity Medical Care when you need urgent care or routine medical care. Walk-ins are welcome. Or let Trinity help you virtually with telemedicine. Visit trinity-medicalcare.com for more information and follow them on Facebook. Trinity Medical Care, where your care comes first. Located on Governor's Drive in South Parkway.
Hey everybody, this is Paul Overstreet, and you are listening to The Mark White Show. Stay tuned, because Mark is doing some things on his show that's helping his community and uplifting people, so you stay with him.
He drives into the city, works extra hard all day, finishes up early, so he can get away. Blue-eyed kid on second base wants dad to watch him play. Daddy knows he's waiting.
Welcome back to the Mark White Show. You can hear the sounds of nature as we're sitting here at Rogersville Park in Rogersville, Alabama, in the Shoals area in the state of Alabama. Right now, as advertised, I have Andrew Sorrell with me. He's a state representative in the Shoals area. Welcome to the Mark White Show, Andrew Sorrell.
Mark, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Glad to have you, buddy. And I just had a guest, Kevin Turley. He was councilman in Daleville, Alabama, in Dale County, down as about as far south as you can go in the eastern part of the state. And he shared about being a first responder. He shared about his desire to serve his community as a government official. He ran for councilman. He won in Daleville. And I loved the idea of a servant's heart. That's what he talked about in the last segment. So for you, Andrew, we've known each other for several years now. You have held the office of state representative, and I wanted to get your take on being a community servant, for being a public official, and why that interests you.
Yeah, you know, Mark, I used to volunteer for a lot of different political campaigns, helped a lot of people get elected, but then I was always kind of disappointed. They didn't stay true to their word. They didn't do what they said they were going to do when they got into office. And I guess that's what first motivated me to run for office myself. And I thought, you know, I'm going to try to vote the way I said I was going to vote. I'm going to try to be responsive to the citizens. When I ran, I gave my phone number out to over 10,000 people have my cell phone number in my district, and I get a lot of phone calls. But, you know, that also helped me get their vote. But, you know, being responsive as a legislator, a lot of your job is just simply returning emails and calling people back. And it's really sad how many elected officials don't do that. You know, yes, I get a lot of emails, especially during session. You know, I get a lot of emails. But I try to take the time to respond to each and every one of them, especially if they put their name and their address. I love it when people do that. If I see Leeton, Alabama, man, I know they're in my district. I'm going to make sure they get a personalized response, you know. I try not to do the copy and paste responses, you know. If somebody takes the time to send me a personal email, I'm going to take the time to personally respond. Same thing on the phone. Now, sometimes it may take me 24 hours to get back with them. But if I get a voicemail on my phone from someone, man, I'm going to call them back. So I think that people appreciate that. Even if you call them back and say, hey, I'm voting no, and I know you want me to vote yes, but I'm voting no, and here's why. People just appreciate that you called them back and took the time to explain it.
So representing the community is vitally important, and making sure that you're there when they call. And as you said, Andrew, whether they agree or disagree, still making that communication, reaching out to them via email or telephone, text, however you do it, matters.
People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And that's the first thing that I had to learn about politics was go there, go to an event and show them that you care. You know, when we went to a volunteer firefighter meeting, we were, of course, handing out our cards, trying to get votes. But at the end of the meeting, we stayed and we helped them pick up every table and chair in the place. Well, that really meant something to the people in the community. They said, I mean, you're the first politicians that's ever come here and actually helped us, like, clean up after the event, you know, throw the trash away and pick up all the tables and chairs. I'm talking about like 500 chairs. It was a big event. But then those people then realized after they knew I cared about them, then they cared more, you know, what I thought about politics. And that's just how it works. That's people.
Well, and as I mentioned before, the key word there is representative. And I've thought about this a lot. I think about the fact that we have an entire community to serve, whether you're elected to councilman, as Kevin Turley is, or you're elected to state representative. Wherever you are, we have a representative government. That's what we're based on, is you representing the people and trying to do the best you can, but to try to get a consensus and try to figure out, okay, what is best for our area that I represent. That's important.
Yeah, the way I think of it is you've got to represent the majority of your district the majority of the time. If you want to get reelected, that's the ticket. You cannot make everyone happy. There's, you know, we had a vote this year in the state legislature on whether or not to make the sweet potato the official vegetable of Alabama. All right, you wouldn't expect that to be very controversial, right? But it was. We debated the bill for like 2 hours, and there were three people who said, well, no, we grow peaches in my district. We grow corn in my district. I don't want to vote for the sweet potato. You know, so nothing. It's very rare you get everyone to agree on anything. But if you can represent the majority of your district the majority of the time, then I think you're doing your job as a representative.
People want to feel like they have a voice. They want to feel like there's someone who is standing up for them. When you think about lobbyists and you think about those who contribute a lot of money for special interest, that's a big part of our government, whether it's on the state level or the national level. And the individual guy who's out there blowing leaves off of a parking lot, he wants to be represented too, but he doesn't have a lobby group behind him. How do you navigate that with the interest that groups have as opposed to the individual?
So let me say this about lobbyists, first of all. You know, a lot of times lobbyists get a very bad rap, and some of it's fair, some of it's not. But lobbyists are actually an essential part of our government. I mean, they really are. They're exercising their First Amendment right just like everyone else. They have every right to be there. A lot of times, if there's a complex issue, something to do with coal mining, for instance. Okay, I'm not a coal miner. I know nothing about the mining industry. It's very helpful to call up the coal association and say, hey, is this bill going to be good or bad for coal miners? I need to know that. So lobbyists have their place. That being said, you should never be listening to a lobbyist instead of the majority of voters in your district. That's where you start to go wrong. Just because a lobbyist gives you money, they have a PAC, they dole out campaign donations for your reelection. If you start letting that influence your vote, then I think you need to get out of politics, because that's not why you're there. And, you know, people, ordinary people can have a bigger impact than the lobbyist. If, number one, if they go vote, that's always the first thing I ask somebody. If they call me and they're complaining about something, is, are you a voter? Did you vote in the last election? You'd be shocked how many people call and complain and they didn't bother to go vote. So those people have no right to complain about the lobbyist influence of government if they don't even go vote. At least the lobbyists are involved, right? At least we can give them that much credit. But ordinary people, man, I tell you, the people that I want their endorsement when I'm running for office is the guy at the running the volunteer fish fry, the guy who is the firefighter. Those type people are very influential in the community. I told my wife, I remember we didn't get very much support out of Montgomery when I was running for state house. My opponent was getting all the institutional support. I was 31 years old at the time, had never run for office before. Nobody really gave me a shot. And I got a disappointing phone call from the head of one of the largest lobbying groups in the state. He said, Andrew, we really like you, but we're going to go with your opponent. And I remember turning to my wife and I said, you know what, Hannah? I said, we're done going to Montgomery asking for money. I said, there's no votes in Montgomery. Nobody down there can do anything for me. They're not going to give me any money anyway. I said, we are just going to go knock doors and talk to the voters. And that's what we did. And in the primary, we ended up getting 77% of the vote.
That's incredible. And people are shell-shocked when they find out that Andrew Sorrell won, I'm sure, if they did back your opponent. And you think about where you represent in Colbert County, part of Lauderdale County, as you mentioned, City of Florence. That would include also in Colbert County, Muscle Shoals, Tuscumbia, Sheffield, those areas. You have a big farming community is part of your district, as well as the gateway to music in the Shoals area and Muscle Shoals. And so you have a very diverse community there to represent. How do you navigate between the two? You've got the rural and you've got the city.
My district is somewhat challenging to represent, I'll admit. First of all, because I represent three different counties. So you're dealing with three different county commissions. I have four school boards just in Colbert County. three city boards and one county board. Then I've got the board in Lawrence County and the Florence City Board. I have 10 municipalities in my district. So there's 10 mayors and city councils that I have to deal with. So all of those things make it a somewhat challenging district to represent. There's just more people to talk to. You know, I'm jealous of the people who maybe only represent, you know, one county and one big city. Maybe they live in Hoover and all of their district is in Hoover. That's a much easier district to represent. On top of that, as you mentioned, I represent the city folk and I represent the county folk. And sometimes there's some tension there. So, you know, the city folk don't care anything about broadband internet because they already have broadband internet. So that's not a very high priority for them. So if we're taking the COVID relief money and we're giving it to broadband internet, the city folk are like, hey, what are you doing for our school system? What are you doing for us? So sometimes those things are kind of competing interests. But again, you just have to do the best you can for the majority of the people the majority of the time. And there's things in the city, there's different challenges there that have to be overcome. And that's how tax dollars work, Mark. They get spread out, you know. I mean, it's like we all pay to drive a road that you may never drive on. But by the same token, other people are paying for the roads that you do drive on. So that's just kind of how that works.
Before it happens, before you take the office, you're excited about it. You want to take on this responsibility. Then you get into it, and it can be different than actually being there and doing it. Are you glad you did it, Andrew?
It is different. It's a little different than I expected, but I do love it just as much as I thought I would. I mean, I absolutely love being elected official. It was a thrill to run the race and certainly to win the race. And, you know, I won by a very narrow margin. I was the narrowest win in the state house. I only got 52% of the vote. So, but once we got past the election, we got down to actually the brass tacks of doing the job. I realized, yes, this is what I expected. This is something that I knew I would enjoy, and I have enjoyed it. So that being said, would I have predicted all the different challenges that came with the office? No. Did Montgomery work the way I expected it to? No, not really. And we've all heard stories about how politics works and how deals get made and all that kind of stuff. But you don't understand it until you're in the middle of it. You know, you don't see that. And a lot of what works in Montgomery is relationships. You have to get relationships with your fellow legislators. You can have the best bill in the world, but if you don't have a good relationship with those committee members, your bill may never even come up for a vote. So that's something I didn't expect. I thought we were down there to just debate ideas and everyone could bring an idea to the floor and we're going to debate it. That's not how that works.
So personality differences can get in the way too.
Yeah, for better or worse. I mean, you can have a person that nobody likes with a great bill, or you can have a person that everyone loves with a terrible bill. And sometimes that bill will move first. And it's really not fair, but it's human nature. And whether they're politicians or regular people, it's human nature. That's just how it works. So you've got to understand the game. You've got to understand how to move a bill. And one of the things I've done is I've made my best effort to make friends with people on the other side of the political aisle. And in fact, the one bill that I got passed this year, I had co-sponsorship from the Democrat minority leader. He was one of the top people to co-sponsor my bill. And several other members of the minority caucus also co-sponsored my bill. They were the ones in committee making the motions to move it out. And the bill ended up passing unanimously, which was really cool. It was really special when that happened. But if I hadn't been cultivating those relationships, I'm not sure I would have ever been able to move that bill.
So we have lobbyists who have a bad rap. Then we have a bad rap for those who are serving with each other, have a bad rap for each other. And then the public gives politicians a bad rap. A lot of times government officials get a bad rap and they don't get to know Andrew Sorrell. They don't get to know you as a person. And that can be a challenge for you, because as soon as you say, well, I represent this party or this party, then suddenly people have built an idea of you and the type of person you are, when in reality, you're so much more complex than a single party.
Politicians are people too. And you know, and you said it well. Like, you represent a party. When you run, most people are going to run on a ticket. You're going to run on the Republican or the Democrat ticket. But you represent everyone in the district. You represent the people who voted for you, the people who didn't vote for you. You even represent the people who didn't vote. All of those are your responsibility. You have to take all of those people into account when you're casting a vote. Now, you don't necessarily spend as much time on the ones that didn't vote, but you do. That is your job, to represent them either way. And I think that's really important to remember.
For young people who are listening right now, who maybe are not as engaged in the political world, in knowing what's happening with their government, what would you say to them to interject themselves more into government and what's happening in our communities?
The same thing that the Apostle Paul told, I believe it was Timothy, you know, let no man despise thy youth. Timothy was a young preacher. Maybe he wasn't getting as much respect from some of the elder people in the church, but he was a very capable young man, and Paul knew that. So I would say the same thing to young people interested in politics is don't let somebody tell you you're too young to make a difference. We have some of our best legislators are very young. There were several people I served with were elected in their 20s. And these people are down there passing bills and making a difference in Montgomery. And sometimes they're carrying bills on issues that other generations don't see the importance of, but maybe we do. So I'm 35 right now. I'll give you an example. I carried a bill dealing with cryptocurrency. Okay, that's not a bill that you're probably going to see a 74-year-old carrying in the Alabama legislature. And by the way, the bill went nowhere. I mean, we debated it for an hour or two. It was terrible. It was not a fun experience on the floor. But you know, ever since that bill failed on the floor, everyone's been talking about Bitcoin in the Alabama legislature. And I think you're going to see a Bitcoin bill pass. I don't know if I'm going to try it again next year. I don't know if it'll be next year or not, but you're going to see some cryptocurrency bills eventually pass. So young people can bring those issues to light and kind of help keep Alabama on the cutting edge.
So it is about educating people and letting them know about what the issues are so that they can learn for themselves about the issues and then decide, okay, what can I do in my community to make a difference when it comes to this particular issue?
Yeah, for sure. So I'll give you an example. I serve on the technology committee. That's a great committee for a 30-something-year-old who understands technology really well. So there are sometimes bills that come up dealing with social media, dealing with, you know, the new apps, the TikTok and that kind of thing that sometimes the older generation doesn't understand as well. And you see that with basically any bill. Let's say it's a medical bill. Obviously, everyone in the legislature is not a nurse. They're not a doctor. So what we do is we go to our colleagues that we trust and respect on that particular issue. If it's a bill dealing with, you know, babies, then I might turn to Senator Larry Stutz because he delivers babies for a living. And I'm going to get his opinion on that bill. If we have some complex legal issue, there's plenty of lawyers in the legislature. And likewise, when there's a bill dealing with TikTok, some of the older people may look to the young folks and get our opinion on it. So nobody can be an expert on every issue, and we all rely on each other.
I appreciate what you've done, Andrew, and appreciate your good work. And the fact that you had that business background meant a lot to a lot of people. Thank you, Andrew Sorrell, for sharing your experience with your community as a representative, because that is taking a major step from going from successful business owner into sacrificing time and energy into serving the community in the way that you do.
You know, they call it public service for a reason. And a lot of these people in the legislature, the business people, the doctors, the lawyers, they lose money being in the legislature. Yes, you get paid a salary and it's a fair salary, but if you're an OBGYN and you're in Montgomery for a third or more of the year, if we have special sessions, I guarantee you the salary that you make as a legislator is not making up for the money you could be making as a doctor or a lawyer. But that's okay. That's not why you're there. Nobody goes to the Alabama legislature to get rich. Okay, it's not like DC where you get $180,000 a year. It doesn't work that way down there. Those people down there, I think, are there for the right reasons. I know I'm there for the right reasons. I could put a whole lot more time into my businesses if I wasn't doing politics. But this is what I feel like I was called to do, and I just really enjoy it.
That's kind of the way I feel about the Mark White Show, is if I took on public office, I wouldn't have time to go and recognize difference makers in the way that I do. And
that's
I couldn't
right.
do a show every day of the week because I would be somewhere else. If you do this, you need to do it 100%. You need to be a person who answers those calls and those texts and those emails and be that representative. So, Andrew Sorrell, thank you for your good work. And I appreciate the fact that you could join me here on this show as we recognize those who are serving as public officials in our communities.
Thank you so much for having me on. I really enjoyed the interview.
State Representative Andrew Sorrell, and earlier you heard Councilman Kevin Turley. Folks, let's get involved in our communities. Let's make a difference. That's what the Mark White Show is about, to encourage and inspire. I'm sharing stories every single day to encourage and inspire you. And if you're encouraged and inspired by the Mark White Show, I want you to share this show with your family, your friends, your neighbors. Let them know about the Mark White Show and what we're doing to make a difference. You can follow the Mark White Show on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and also on LinkedIn, and subscribe to the podcast via Apple iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Audio Boom, SoundCloud, Blueberry, YouTube, and TuneIn Radio. And this is Mark White encouraging you to find your purpose by making a difference in someone's life today. Living love in my hometown.
these are my kind of people.
Right now I have with me David Tyree with Piney Grove Farm in Vonmont, Alabama.
Thanks, Mark. It's good to be with you. At Piney Grove Farm, we offer Black Angus beef raised all naturally. Our cattle are grass-fed, grain-finished. We'd love for you to come try some. Our market is located at 5814 County Road 1141, Vonmont, Alabama, and we're open on Fridays from 9 to 5. You can also give us a call at 256-339-4612.
That's Piney Grove Farm, located in Vonmont, Alabama. Find them on Facebook at Piney Grove Farm and give them a try. Is it time for a haircut? Go see my friends Philip Butler and B.H. Parker at Southwind Barbershop, located at 1637 Lee Street in Rogersville, Alabama. Give them a call at 256-247-5658. That's 256-247-5658.
If you like hickory smoked ribs that fall apart at the slightest pull, or barbecue shoulders that are so slow smoked each tender bite melts in your mouth, then you are going to love Baby Jack's Barbecue. Baby Jack's Barbecue in Bartlett and Arlington. Try the barbecue chicken, beef brisket sandwich, barbecue potato, it is huge, or the Baby Jack Trio, pork, turkey, or beef brisket sliders. You like wet ribs? They like dry ribs. Get one slab that has them both. Catering? Baby Jack's can feed a family or an army. Drive in, drive through, order online, or come in and set a minute. Baby Jack's Barbecue in Bartlett at Highway 70 in Appling, or in Arlington at Highway 70, just a block west of 385.
Hello, my name is Christian Martinez. I'm a rising senior at Athens Bible School. My school is great because of the wonderful environment in which students can grow and flourish. We have great academics that include the university preparatory diploma and dual enrollment courses that lead to an associate's degree before high school graduation. All my teachers and the school's employees are Christians who are devoted to the welfare of students. We have an excellent student body, competitive sports program, and study the Bible first thing every day. It's a great place. Please consider joining us at ABS next year, or give that special child in your life the great opportunity I have.
Mr. Cecil Batchelor is the one that started this business as Dependable Service Center. And even though now it's Green's Dependable Hardware and we're a True Value store, our tagline is still Your Dependable Service Center. We've tried to keep that alive for all these years. Mr. Batchelor really started a good business. We're really excited to be carrying on a long-standing tradition. It's the oldest retail store in the city of Russellville. We're Green's Dependable Hardware, 15220A Highway 43 in Russellville, Alabama. We're right behind McDonald's or right across the street from the hospital. Number is 256-331-0123.
The Dependable Service Center.
Located in Tuscumbia, Alabama, the Alabama Music Hall of Fame honors Alabama's music achievers. You can even go into the recording studio and try out your talents as a singer. That's the Alabama Music Hall of Fame, located at 617 Highway 72 West in Tuscumbia, Alabama. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Give them a call at 256-381-4417. Check them out on the web at alamhof.org.
You hear me, people, when I say, well, let's all do something good today.